Up dog fella, look good, feel good, play good. We got some new Adidas golf swag coming the fella's way.
I don't know if any new golf swag would help your game, but I love it. Adidas is excited to introduce new offerings within the Go-To apparel collection that allows you to bring your style to the golf course. Not the traditional golf uniform, Go-To brings a fresh attitude to the game wherever you play. You'll look good on and off the course while enjoying all the technical benefits that let you play your best.
Featuring streetwear-inspired style, the Go-To collection rewrites all the rules and encourages you to express your style through every swing. Explore the new Go-To collection on adidas.com/golf.
Fella.
Up dog, my man, Labatt Blue.
Fellas out there, lots of things are better together, as we know, like playoff hockey or barbecuing with your boys,
teeing it up, going to music festivals. Everything is better with Labatt Blue. But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we.
Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA in Buffalo, New York.
What's missing curfew? It's when you kind of play guilty, but you show up.
How nice is a green light on the road, though? No practice tomorrow, no plane, just go.
Scotty Upshaw in the clear, and he scores! Right in front, scores!
A few laughs, a little bit of fun, and obviously a lot of hockey talk.
You're listening to Missing Curfew.
The lads.
Up dog, my man. Fella Friday, my favorite day of the week.
It sure is. The day before the weekend. Fella Friday, little golf day. Buddy, it's nice to be in here, studio with you. Things are good. Got a great guest today. Fella Fridays.
Yeah, Brian Berard is our guest. B was in town, never saw the studio. He said, hey, I want to come in and check the studio out. I said, fuck that. You're going to come in. Let's talk. Let's catch up. I mean, listen, Brian Berard, his story is unbelievable. We all know it. Great guy, knows a lot about hockey, working with young kids nowadays, really has a sense for these up-and-coming kids, what it takes to develop them nowadays, what they put into it, how much skill and teaching goes into it. So it's a great interview, and it was good to have him in town. I'm glad he doesn't come here a lot, though, because fuck, do we take her deep, ups. Do we take her deep, fella?
No, it's a treat, buddy. Brian Berard, listen, I never got a chance to play with B, but in Philly, he was there on his last NHL the year he tried out with us before he went to Russia. He meant so much to the USA and, you know, USA hockey coming through, first overall pick, played, you know, under the likes of a guy like Brian Leetch, but changed the way that the game was played. He was an offensive D-man, played with his heart on his sleeve, you know, came back from an incredible, like, most insane injury, one of the most insane injuries in the NHL history to still play and to still be effective. And, you know, he's one of our great buddies, and now he's given back from all the things he's learned in the game and all the things he's done as a pro. He's given back to these kids now, so it's great to see. And what better guy to have on our new Frella Friday show?
I was watching that game. I was a junior. I believe I was playing for the St. Michael's Majors at the time. Hossa just turned around, out of control, tried to one-time it, and just, boom, got Berard right in the eye. It was just, I remember watching it being like, oh, no. And then obviously, you know, what happened after that and him coming back. So, yeah, we love Berard. But before we get to Berard, let's go DraftKings, baby. Presented by DraftKings. Stay tuned because you'll hear more about DraftKings and all it has to offer throughout the show. DraftKings, the crown is yours, fellas. Up dog, top titty. Listen, I'm just brutal. Ups. I mean, I don't matter. Whatever I throw in the blender, it's not mixing into a nice smoothie. It's mixing into... not great. I was 36th. The captain, Brento, 82nd. Princey had a hell of a showing. 111 points. By the way, Princey is expecting his third child, everyone. So he's in Calgary right now, working hard for us. His beautiful wife is expecting any day. So Princey, we're thinking of you, buddy. Good luck with all that. Way to represent the boys in the top titty. And shout out to the winner, T. Kirby, 1518, 116 points. He had Samsonov, who's been absolutely kicking up dog, and he had Kempe, who's got some of the sickest style in the NHL. Get in there. Not many regular season games left. $1,000 American. First prize gets a buttery tee and a hat. Listen, I'm just not good enough in top titty ups. I don't know. I got back to the drawing board again.
It's not perfect, buddy. It's one thing trying to even get it in Fridays, but it's another thing trying to put together a winning squad. It's not easy. And when Brento finishes 82nd, there must have been some sort of glitch in the system.
24th he was. He had 82 points.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah,
24.
82 points. That's what more like my boy.
He's usually top 10.
He's usually top 10, but Princey slid in there for him, a good replacement for the weekend. But, yeah, shout out to Princey. You know, good luck with all that. Hopefully by, you know, maybe the end of this show when people are listening, we might have a new member of Missing Curfew with us.
Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. Good for him. DraftKings, lock of the night, fella. Up dog, we both won one. Listen, I had the Avalanche last week over the Preds. Preds came out, made it 3-0 right away. I went, oh, no, here we go. And then the Avs just, I mean, they're a comeback machine. I don't think they want to do that come playoff time, but they won for me. The Oilers beat the Ducks in a -610 line for you, so thank you for that. I am 13-7. Updog is 12-6. We are making you money here at our DraftKings Lock of the Night. Updog, go ahead, fella. Fire away.
I shouldn't reach back into my magic bucket here trying to find wins for this team because they cost me last week. But the St. Louis Blues, they need to rack up these points this weekend on this road trip. They got the San Jose Sharks in San Jose Saturday afternoon. It's a Binnington-Blackwood face-off. Listen, those points are crucial. It's do or die for the St. Louis Blues. So, boys, get out there, find a dirty road win, and then get out to Orange County after the game. I'm going to see some of the boys. But that is my Saturday lock of the week, Hobbs.
I like that. That's a good angle, right? They laid an egg at home against the Sharks. You got to think, listen, they're going to, you know, a lot of pride in that dressing room. That's a good bet, Updog. I think they're going to come out and take care of business at the Shark Tank that doesn't quite have as much bite as it used to. Together, we are 25-13. So I hope you've been riding this all year because you're making some dough here on the fellas. And listen, I'm going to go Battle of Alberta. I'm going to take the Edmonton Oilers. They'll probably be like -250. Going into the Saddle Dome, sorry, Weegsy baby, Connor McDavid and the Oilers to beat the Flames. And the Updog's got his former Blues team heading into the Shark Tank to take on the San Jose Sharks. I like those bets, fella. I like those bets. You know what else I like, Updog? I like Jägermeister. Presented by Jägermeister. Best served at 0 degrees Fahrenheit. Damn, that's cold. Check Jägermeister out at www.draftkingsjagermeister.com. Updog, we got the Jägermeister thing in the studio now if you're looking for a quick shot, buddy. Damn, that's cold.
Oh, it comes out icy. Damn, too, baby. Comes out icy.
She comes out icy cold. Listen, the Jägermeister, iciest shot of the night. Fellas, Owen Zellweger, Updog, a kid that you know from Kamloops, scored his first NHL goal the other night. Coming down short side, I had the Canucks in the game too. It was 2-0 Canucks. Everything was going fine. I was just sitting on the couch enjoying my evening. Owen Zellweger comes down short side, over the short side titty, under the bar, first NHL goal. That is our Jägermeister iciest shot of the night, Updog.
You got to love it, too. In Vancouver, a good Western leaguer. He played for the Kamloops Blazers last year in the Mem Cup. You know, what a treat. What a treat for him. So congrats. It's always such an uplifting moment for a young kid that we're familiar with to come out and get his first. And I think this kid, although he's tiny, he moves well. And this goal was just one, you know, snippet of just how good this kid could be when he gets the puck in the O-zone. So congrats on that. And then, big fella, last but not least, Sidney Crosby scores this goal. I mean, it is a tip from the front, and he's got to have 100 of these in his career. So this, you know, he steps out, he breaks himself away. You're a D-man. Sidney Crosby separates himself by coming to the puck. Not many guys open up and come away from the puck. Sidney Crosby separates himself, steps out in the high slot, tips it up over Shesterkin's, you know, blocker side. And, I mean, for that, he deserves the Jägermeister iciest shot of the night.
Damn, that's cold. Yeah, Updog, it's hard as a defenseman to get out to that high tip area, and nobody does it better than Sid. So that was juicy as well. But listen, if you're looking for these Jägermeister machines here they got here, like, they keep them cold. You just take a shot like that. I'm telling you, for playoff time, Updog, they'll be nice to have around the house. So, fellas, I'd get one, and it just comes out ice cold up. So, Jägermeister, iciest shot of the night, Crosby, Owen Zellweger, congratulations. Updog, we got our boy Brian Berard coming at you next on Missing Curfew. Fellas, in studio, the beast, Brian Berard. First of all, welcome back to Newport, fella. Second of all, as you would say, I'm still fucking hurting. I'm still fucking hurting.
A little bit.
Got away on us there, didn't it?
It did. Went by quick, too. But finally back, finally in the studio with you guys.
Yeah.
Be here, boys.
No,
that's,
thank you.
That's what happens at a Friday night where you get the OG crew, Joe DeMarco, Pico, Stu, PJ. We're missing the Loop Dog, but I mean... Yeah, but that just happens. Fridays will from us playing golf to meeting those cats, it's just inevitable.
I'd say get away from Oops for sure.
Yeah, listen, I set out it was like the bat signal. I said, boys, Berard's coming in town. Anybody interested in dinner? And all the boys came out of the woodworks. And by the way, we talked about this over the weekend, but that doesn't happen a lot. So thank you, because I haven't seen Joe DeMarco. I mean, he's up to baby shit up to here. He doesn't leave the house. So it was good to see him, Stu, Steph, PJ. It was a great crew.
It was great. And it's been too long since I've been there. It's been at least, I think, 4 or 5 years. Definitely before COVID, so it's been a while.
Yeah, we were talking about, you were a staple. You were a staple at the Memorial Day / July 4th Lupo parties back in the day. You didn't miss one. I mean, you were coming in Memorial Day, and then you were right back out here for the 4th. Those were some good shakers back in the day.
I think even Labor Day. Because it was like black shindig back.
We had
the
white party, the black party.
That was called Sutra.
Yeah, that's yeah. It was definitely out a few times this summer. I miss Newport. It's a good spot.
It's
for you guys.
It's basically the same crowd doing the same shit, just a few more gray hairs and a little more lbs on.
Absolutely. I'm happy I still have my hair.
I was just gonna say, I got your picture pulled up here on HockeyDB. You got the flow hawk going there, but you still got the nice flow going.
A little bit. It's all natural too.
Yeah.
It's you know, I didn't fight a turkey yet to get the hair done yet.
Yeah, I was thinking about maybe flying a turkey and getting that done, but I don't know. I got this new product called Happy Head that gets me back in the game a little bit.
If you go to Turkey, I'll go with you.
All right. Yeah, we probably won't get our hair done. We'll probably do a few other things over there.
What are they doing in Turkey? That's where the guys are going. Is it hair plugs or what is it? Is it plugs?
Full transplant.
I think Zach Johnson, I watched that fucking full swing the other day.
That's pretty good, too, to be honest with you.
Yeah, most guys, but you got a bandage on your head for a while? Or
you fly back. You ever seen those pictures on the social media? You got the guys on the plane just like...
Yeah.
full bandages.
That'd be a tough flight back in the bus there, eh? Like 37D, you're like, sorry, boys, got the hair done. Like, look out here, fella.
Grab yourself a gyro while you're over there, boys. Maybe tour the pyramids, fucking get some new hair.
Oh, that's funny.
You've been to Turkey, though.
Turkey's great, yeah. Istanbul and then a little island called Bodrum. Sick. It's like a little Mykonos place. It's great badass.
Sports. I know back when I played in Russia, a lot of guys would
sneak over. Tons of Russians in Bodrum. To where all their boats go, and it's where that little salt bay.
Is that where that guy came from?
I think so. Yeah,
that's where he is. Yeah.
Didn't you have a good old fashioned Turkish standoff with some guy over some fucking blankets or something back in the day?
Yeah, I know. Oh yeah, I played hardball, and then he eventually.
You wish you had those towels now, or
the Turks are hard to negotiate with.
How far apart were you on the? Could the deal got done, or what was?
Yeah, no, I was standing still. So we went into this huge market. It's the biggest market in the world, and. You know, there's everything from fucking candles to magic carpets to towels. And the Turkish are known
for these. Don't forget the brothels.
The nice cloth, the towels, like, right? So they're towels. And at the time, I was building my house on the island. Yeah. And I knew the style, right? Because I'd been through all the lookbooks. But I'm like, don't have any towels yet. So I wanted to bring back something from Turkey. Hopefully not an STD or whatever. And so I go and I fucking find... In this thing, I find these great towels, soft already, like they'd been washed a million times, but they're still fresh.
Buttery.
And they had the nice little the tinsels on the bottom, colors, perfect match. And so I go to the guy and I'm like, I got to get out of here with the deal. We just bought a bunch of fake fucking Louis bags, so I got deals on those. So I'm like the towel guy, right? And he just plays it hardball. And I'm like, I'm ready to check out. And I'm like, you know what? If you just give me like, you know, half off, and I'm probably going to spend, I don't know, 800, 900 bucks on towels, right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
do they use euros in Turkey, or they got another like?
They got their own Turk.
They got their own Turks and Caicos.
It's called the Kron or something. No, that's okay. Maybe Czech.
Is that Czech?
Yeah, that's how were you spending in those strip clubs in Czech Krones? Anyway, so but the guy, so listen, I leave, I go, fuck it, and I was ready to pay the guy. I go, you're not going to do this deal right now. I'm gone. I go back to Soho House, and all I can think about is the towels. And so I have the guy at the front desk there. You need to call this motherfucker and speak to him in Turkey and say, like, one of your guests, like, wants to call and he actually needs the towels. Like, so just tell him whatever. And so this guy, I had to pay him extra to drop him back off at the Soho House before I left. So not only did I pay full price, I had to pay him to drop him off back at my hotel.
Worth it, lugging those things back to the U.S.
They ship them.
I was going to ship them. Ship's nice. Speaking of that house, I walked by the other day when I was there. I took the girlfriend to walk by, and I shed a tear or two. That was a great spot. Yeah.
Yeah.
You built there.
You
did a good job.
I didn't see the nurseries and the blueprints when he was going to find me. I didn't see the fucking nursery.
I let everyone down. It was meant to be a bad
job.
For just the use of the house. What are you talking about? Of course I did.
It's called a Turkish lira. L-I-R-A.
Oh, yeah, the lira.
Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Lira. Turkish lira.
Yeah, the lira. Beautiful place, though. But by the way, they got all the mosques and some of the oldest churches and mosques in the world there. And it separates Asia from Europe is Turkey.
It's the taint, eh?
Yeah, it's right in the
taint. It's the taint. Why are they good?
Somebody's throwing a finger in there.
Fuck, you're just saying the old Turkish taint. Why are they doing with the hair plugs? They got the good hay over there. What do they got over there?
No idea. I mean, it's obviously a transplant, so it's going from wherever they get it from.
From my ass is where they're going to get right from.
I think it's not even a quarter of the price. It's cheap too. That's why everyone's flying over there. It's really well done. That's all I know.
By the way, Turkish Airlines, great airline. And the airport in Istanbul is one of the best airports on the planet. It's fucking awesome.
I haven't heard a bad thing about Turkey here.
Berard, you're keeping yourself in pretty good shape, eh, buddy? You keep yourself how old are you now? 47?
47.
March. You look good, feel good. What are you doing for workouts?
I mean, to be honest, my girl bought the Tonal for Christmas.
Oh, that's right, you're telling me.
Yeah.
Is that the one where Peloton. You, was so, it mirror? You
yeah.
just watch, you watch
yeah.
yourself fuck in there?
Stuff.
Yeah,
get pretty, the mirror on there. Yeah, pretty much. But just to be honest, your diet. That's
it's the diet.
It's a diet for
it's
me.
Everything you eat. You know, I'm drinking the bad blue.
I can't lie too much. I love my ice cream every night.
That's what it is for me too.
My walking for me is the biggest. My because I'll get fat. I'll get the big Berard gut going, the genetic Berard gut. But the walking for me is the big thing. Keeps my gut.
I think when we're at Bonnaroo, maybe you might have put a few on back then. But you've always kept. I don't remember you getting like where you're like, well, fuck, you didn't get as fat as I did. That's for sure. But how much did you think did you put on when you first retired?
I can put on some weight. Probably about good 30 pounds easy. I get up over. I think when I played, I was like 218 towards the end of my career, and I was up about 240, so 25 pounds.
Sheldon Surrey told a great story a couple weeks ago about he hadn't weighed himself in forever, so he's up in Banff and he wants to go horseback riding with his girl, eh? And there's a scale. The guy's like, you got to be under 265. Or he's like, I hadn't weighed myself since I retired. He jumped on there. He was like 268. The guy wouldn't let him get on the horse. He's like, I'm not going to break this horse's back. He's like, listen, rules are rules. So he's like, I just told my girl, those things are dangerous anyways. Don't worry about that. They're dangerous anyway. I remember being the first time I knew I was getting fat. I was like, I'm getting pretty fat. But I'm buying the stretchy jeans and I'm, you know, the double XLs. But I was like, let's just see where I'm at. And I jumped on there. I got up to as high as 318. And then I went, I got to change something. I gotta change something because at 318 that was
you fellas, but you guys are 40 plus now too, boys. Yeah, you guys can find those doctors too.
I know
the cheating doesn't count as cheating.
Oh, life force.
Yeah. The hormones, the testosterone, and stuff works well. Feel a lot better, especially with all the injuries we've had too. We can't lie. If you do it the right way, the doctors, it works
for sure. Life force has changed I feel way better from the stuff they've sent me. I'm doing some of these little mushroom drops every morning for honor your gut, find your flow, and reach your potential. They make me feel better, but yeah, I mean, you're right. If you don't have a doctor out there, and Life Force has been great for us, but if you don't have something out there helping you, you're behind the times right now because there's so much good stuff out there, eh?
Absolutely.
And just look at the fucking, there's cancer everywhere. Like, simple blood draws yearly and screenings can help you prevent, like, it's crazy, but people are, it's like you walk around the billboards, it's like, oh, we can help you with cancer here, this, there. There's a lot of things now that can be preventative, not only to stay young and stay healthy and help your gut and fucking your brain health. Brain health is huge for us.
Big time.
You know, talking to people, but fucking, you screen yourself as you get into your 40s. You know, those colonoscopies aren't fun, but at 40, if you find it early, you're fucking good. If not, like Eddie Olchuk fucking went through stage fucking 3 colon cancer.
Absolutely. I just lost my mom. I lost my mom last year, unfortunately, colon cancer as well. So it's big. So I do really 3 to 4 blood draws a year. Resilience Code out in Denver. Unbelievable. Yeah. Dr. Chad Prusmak, genius. And then I have a guy back in Rhode Island as well in Barrington. Dr. Souza helps big time. So you got to stay on top of that. It's got to stay healthy, boys.
Yeah. For sure. There was a doctor in Aspen. I can't remember his name. But he said there's 4 things you do.
Dr. Darsharm.
you'll basically gonna be okay. And getting blood work and scans, and there was a couple other ones, but those were two that he was.
Colonoscopy's huge.
Yeah, that. Yeah,
yeah, there's a
blood work.
There's a heart scan. It's a heart test, right? It's a test.
It's like a calcium thing, so make sure your arteries aren't clogging as well.
Yeah, and the colon was the one.
Lay off the DoorDash.
Sorry to hear that about your mom. I knew that happened.
Yeah, yeah, she's a fighter.
It runs in your family because I think it runs in mine.
It's genetic. Yeah,
You got to check it, boys. Yeah. You listening out there? Fucking get it checked.
Get the hoop checked out. Up dog, my man, Labatt Blue.
Fellas out there, lots of things are better together, as we know, like playoff hockey or barbecuing with your boys,
teeing it up, going to music festivals. Everything is better with Labatt Blue. But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we.
Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA in Buffalo, New York.
Any way you can. Hey, speaking of big hearts, we can't have you on here without asking about Matty. Oh, yeah, Fernandez. Fucking, oh, yeah. He's always texting me. He's like, you took the fucking stars about his 500. You fucking nuts or what? He loves golf. He loves betting the Asian golfers early. He'll take CT Pan and Siwoo Kim and everyone first round. But how often do you get to see each other as much as you
used to? Quite a bit. I mean, he's a dad of the year now.
Good for him.
Matty Jr., it's been great. He's a cute little kid. I think he's almost three now. He's awesome. So, I don't see him as much, but obviously with Texan, it's all about gambling. He loves gambling. And I think he was mad at you for not taking the old Harrington this weekend. I cost you some money. Irish fella.
I missed his text during our 24-hour bender that we had, Brad. But he's like, I can't believe he didn't lay a little on the Irishman in your backyard.
He ended up winning too, didn't he?
He did win.
Yep.
Can't believe he didn't lay it on the Irishman in your own backyard. Fucking, oh, yeah. And then he sent me another great message. He's like, I'm going over to Spain, running with the Bulls, and then seeing Pearl G. I'm coming over. I'm like, I'm not running with the Bulls. Could you imagine? This guy wants to run with the Bulls, B.
I know.
Miss that. I guess it's a spectacle.
Huh. Well, they're doing it in July.
July 4th, right around that era.
We just missed it. We were in Mallorca, and it was just outside it, but you don't have to get out there and fucking bend over and hope one of these things gets, you know.
So you were there in July. Yeah, that's when it goes down.
You better get his ass in shape if he's going to run with the Bulls. I'll tell you that. Yeah.
What a rush, though. Like, right now. Well, you think about who likes a rush. Like, Matty, loves a rush. Oh, yeah. Well, you'd expect him to be the guy that's just like, fuck it, I'll be the last one out here.
First time I started hanging out with Matty, we're at Pearl Jam at Fenway, and we're going, he's like, let's go grab a beer. And we're going to grab a beer, and then he spots some guy he hasn't seen in years. He's like, fuck, oh, it's one of the chances. This guy, let's go get. I'm like, let's just grab a beer, you beauty. I calmed him down, but he just has such a big heart, man. Anytime I was getting to know him, like, he'd come out here for Loops' parties, he would do anything for anyone. Like, that's how he is.
Absolutely. Yeah. He's one of a kind. He's a good friend and one of my best friends back home. And now he's got Junior running around. So
how about his older son, Kyle?
Kyle's married this year.
Fuck, yeah. Right. So he was with us years ago as like an 18-year-old kid at Coachella.
Yeah, I think he's, I don't know exactly, maybe 26, 27 now.
He saw some great things of us going down. It was the first week we ever got our Sprinter van back in the day. So this is how long ago it was. And introduced him to Kanye West in the artist area. It was hilarious. And then, he was running around and the bands that he liked, he's a musician too.
Yeah,
right? Musician. Kyle.
He's a bass getting married, I believe. He's getting married. Yeah, him as fiance and Zena. It's good stuff.
That'll make you feel old, eh, Ups?
That's something we haven't done yet, boys, yeah?
Yeah, not yet. Right? Yeah, none of us have been married. Eh?
No, not yet.
Thank God.
Our crew's held off pretty good, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I don't know if it's good or bad.
Never thought about that. No one. We can't get past a certain break point. And they're like, guys, we're not in for this. But B, I want to talk to you about some tragic news. A couple weeks ago, a month ago, a guy that you played with over in Russia, a guy that we all played against, Chris Simon. I know he meant a lot to you. Just maybe what you thought, or just what he meant to you back in the day.
It's still tough to talk about, to be honest with you, boys. I mean, it just happened, but I was shocked to hear the news. For one. I live with Chris. We live together in Russia. Fortunately, we had the same financial advisor, Phil Kenner, that kind of stole from us as well. So I know Chris for a long, long time. Warrior. He was, obviously when we lived together in Chekhov. He wasn't drinking that time too, so he was sober and stuff too. But Chris was just a dear, dear friend. Tough as they come.
Oh.
I mean, I can tell some stories. Because when we went over there, obviously he was done fighting. He didn't want to fight much. But these young kids were kind of testing him, and sometimes he would just kind of snap. And I can remember on the ice probably three or four times. I think I actually fought more over in Russia in that 1 6-month than I did my whole NHL career, because guys were just kind of – he'd bury the top guy and then would start, like, line brawls. But a couple times I remember just screaming at him kind of like to kind of get him out of his snappages. Like, he was hurting guys. You know, uh-huh. You get finally so pissed that he would just start pummeling these guys. And I'd be like, Chief, enough. I saw him dent in a couple guys. I mean, literally dented in their cheekbones over a rusher, and I was like, this guy is tough as they come.
Yeah.
And then he just struggled, mental illness. I mean, we can talk about it, familiar a little bit with it, and it's not fun. And I think Chris went back to the reservation and had a hard time. And I know Paul Theofanis, our agent that we use in Russia and stuff, was a great, great guy, was trying to get him some help up there, and unfortunately it was too late. So it's just sad news.
Yeah. Did you notice anything? Like, so there's two guys that happened to me with Rick Rippon, you know, who I loved, and we knew he had problems, right? But then Wade Bielak, a guy who was one of my favorite teammates, who you played with Beaker in Toronto, right?
I didn't play with him, but I did the Battle of Blades with him. I was there.
Yeah.
I was there that morning.
Like, to that one, to me, caught me. Like, I didn't think Beaker had, you know, I didn't think he was dealing with anything. He's happy-go-lucky guy, always smile on his face. I knew he didn't love fighting, but, did you kind of knew that
I knew Chris struggled, struggled a little bit. We had, talked about it a little bit, but he was a big, quiet guy, too. I mean, if anybody knew him, he didn't really talk too much. He was just kind of who he was, but you could tell he struggled. I mean, obviously, when you deal with sobriety and stuff as well, but mental illness, I think, was, I don't, a lot of people talk about head injuries and stuff like this. I don't know if we can say that about Chris. I don't know if he had struggled with CTE or anything like that, but I think mental illness was probably part of his life we're familiar with some of the reservations and stuff, and I don't think that can be tough. Can be depressing, and how some of they grow up and stuff. It's not an easy life, that's for sure.
Yeah, I joked with you that, and this is true. I think the only book I ever finished is Berg's book. It's the only book I've ever finished. A lot of pictures in there for me. But we've all talked about retiring, and like, I mean, you went through it. You know, obviously losing your eye, and then coming back, and then having to retire. Like, what was the hardest? Like, probably the eye injury. But then you come back, and then you retire. How was retirement for you? Right, when you first
was tough. I mean, to be honest with you, because kind of two things hit me at once. Obviously, retirement, and then I had to deal with the financial situation with my financial advisor. So it was all, I was living in New York and living with Andy and stuff, and all kind of. I thought I built a little bit more of a nest egg than I thought. And then all of a sudden we wake up and it's gone. So I was dealing with that and stuff. And then, obviously I talk about it. I dealt with anger issues and things like that, and still do once in a while, but, but still, I mean, I talked to a therapist for a long time, and it helped big time.
Yeah.
I talk about that a lot. There's nothing wrong with talking to somebody when you need help.
And no.
Always you find the right one. And I did back in New York, and it helped a lot for sure.
When you played Beast, was there always like, was there ever moments where everything, there was nothing, there was no noise, like you were just hockey? Or do you feel like you always had stuff on the go, like from your upbringing, where you were, like, the path you took, like, you came on the scene and your first overall pick, and a lot of talk and
expectations.
But were you ever able to just go out and play hockey, or was there always just stuff going on?
I was able to go out, but great question. But the support I had, I mean, from big family, five siblings. Four boys, two girls, so, and my parents as well. So, I mean, it was always, I liked noise, to be honest with you. I liked hockey, was kind of get away from it and just concentrate on hockey and stuff. But even today, I like, big families. I like to be around. For me, it's more silence that I struggle with, even sleeping. I like to sleep with a TV on.
Yeah, kind of me too.
That's how I am.
That Buster Rock.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there you go. But yeah, just growing up like that, I think helped a lot. And I think retirement, once it comes to an end, there's like, almost like there's no noise, but you still have family, which helps a lot. But I mean, I'm not going to shit on the unions, or I think every sport. I think they still don't do a great job of preparing athletes for after the sport. It's kind of like once you're done and figure it out yourself. They still need to work on some programs, I think, that to help. That's one thing I wish I would have done.
Agree.
I wish I would have done is set myself up so right when I retired, I had a job or had something that I knew what I wanted to do. And still today, sometimes I figure out like what's the next calling? What do I want to do? And I think that's part of life.
Well, I just had, I just played, you guys know this, but I just played in this recent golf tournament for these veterans. It was at Riviera's in LA. It was put on, and it was a great thing. And these guys, their research into vets and their struggle with PTSD and struggle with, with mental health leads back to the uniform. Not so much watching your buddy fucking get his leg blown off. Like, not so much that on the battleground, but the fact that you have to take off your uniform. No one knows who you are. You don't have the leader, you know, telling you and your team what to do, right? Similar to us. Now, their foundation built this university, gives a chance for all these guys to go in and learn how to be health, you know, health instructors, physical trainers, nutritionists, yoga, you know, whatever the case may be. But it's a university. And I often think, I'm like, we didn't go to, a lot of us didn't go to university. A lot of us didn't have like that group of guys in like Madison, Wisconsin, or fucking, you know, wherever, Penn State, that like you always lean on call, like, hey, I heard you got this new job. I'm looking for a job. Like a fucking hockey's, yeah. Hockey's different. And unless you knew how to, you know, Obi talks about Ty Domi and how Ty Domi, the whole course of his career, was working on business his whole way, leaves the game, fucking hedge funds this, blah, blah, blah. But hockey needs that post-hockey career university that isn't set up by the PA. Say it hasn't been. The NHL is not spending money into it. But what new better place to go and like revisit being on a team again? You know, when you're done, it's tough.
And the biggest thing is routine.
That's
what's for us.
That was hard for me.
Your routine. Yeah. All of a sudden, you don't have. You wake up and you know,
and nothing.
You got nothing to do. And I think that's where we all struggle.
I was looking forward to garbage day, but on Wednesday, I'm like, all right, at least I got something to do here. Like,
what if there's a cool place we could all go as ex-athletes? Like, even if you had a family, like, listen, honey, I'm going to go on this fucking, I got a 6-week course in January, and I got to go do another thing in the spring. I'm going to learn, like, a full new thing, like, or whatever. But you go and you do it. It's not just saying it's one thing. We're so busy. It's hard to fucking retune the mind again, you know?
You need to, I look back at my career, like, you need to prepare for when you're done. Like, even now, these guys are making big bucks or whatever. If you make, and it's not even about making, like, you can have a ton of money, but you need to have some idea of what you're going to do when you stop. Because I didn't. I was worried about playing and getting laid and having fun, and I didn't know how long it was going to last. And then, like, I never thought about life after hockey until it was fucking over. And then I'm like, I mean, thank God for this thing, because who knows what I would have done. I mean, it's something I tell Weegsy. Mackenzie Weegar, I tell all the time, I'm like, you got to start thinking about life after hockey right now. What are you going to do?
Too.
Comes quick.
Yeah, real
comes quick. And it's scary. And Ty, actually, we missed you at the All-Star game in Toronto. But Ty said, I was doing business throughout my whole career. He's like, I was focused on that, getting ready for life after hockey, which I thought was pretty cool.
I agree. I mean, Ty's you know, one of a kind for sure. But I played with him, obviously, got cut short with the eye injury, but he was always busy.
Yeah.
You know, he's always having meetings, and a bunch of us laughed at him. You know, it would be buses, balls, but he did it right. I mean, you look at him now; he's very successful, and he's all over the place, and he's a good friend. Ty is, talk about hearts. He's got one of the biggest hearts I've played with, for sure.
He's a great dude. He's fucking just still, like, you wouldn't want to.
He's a little gorilla. Right?
Yeah,
little
you wouldn't want to. Just...
And mean. Whoa. And mean. He's a good guy, but if somebody gets picked on that he likes, or family or friends, that I'd watch out for Ty, that's for sure. Off ice, I think he's tougher than he was.
There was some guy in Toronto there a couple weeks back or whatever. It was like Max got in a fight. He hit Ty twice. I'm like, dude, I wouldn't have touched Ty once, but definitely not the second time. No. Ty kind of looked like, fella, don't mess around here with me.
Absolutely. But.
B, I want to talk to you, a guy that means a lot to us, Sheldon, Colorado Extreme Hockey. You know, when we were there, you were there working with these kids. Just talk about that program, and that's kind of what you've been doing since, you know, last couple of years, right? Helping these young kids and developing guys.
Yeah, exactly. So we, about, I think it's 4 or 5 years ago now, my old high school, Mount St. Charles Academy, when soccer were around, we started, basically we saw where hockey was going, and back east, prep school hockey, and mostly high school hockey was on a downfall. I mean, it's pretty much non-existing anymore, unfortunately. But these academy teams is where it's at. So it's U14, U15, U16, and U18. Actually, the Nationals for the U.S. Is coming up here soon. I think April 1st through the 7th. And we actually we have a U14, U15, and our U18 team is ahead of the Nationals. And basics, nice. So it's a great program. I mean, the hockey, they play 60-some games a year. They have strength coaches. I mean, it's just they practice during school time. It's a pretty cool setup. I'm jealous. I wish they had this for
the
when we were
new
growing
wave.
Up.
It's the new wave of how to
speak. Like USA Hockey's come a long way.
Yeah.
So basically, I met Sheldon, through the fellas with Andy McLaughlin and obviously Joff and you guys out in Colorado. So hopefully we're going to do the same thing. I mean, obviously with the Colorado Extreme, it's younger kids. It'll start around U8 to U12. But he's got the right idea out there, and looking forward to working with him. Hopefully we can figure some out, and it might be moving out there to really help him and push that program. And I've kind of done it a little bit with Mount, so kind of work on both ends a little bit, both sides of it.
So I mean, he's given so much back. And to bring it, and for him, it's so smart. You can get your program full with guys that play in the NHL, and that's where these kids will learn, from guys like yourself. And I know Shorzy went out there, and I think even PA might have went out and helped. But he's got guys that, through the alumni, that want to help him.
Absolutely. You know, it's in working with the young kids, I have fun.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter which level, especially we do some skating clinics back home and edge work and stride work with Stefan Demopoulos and Rodney Millett and stuff. So you can see some of the kids that aren't elite, you know, we call the elite programs or whatever, but some of these younger kids that are learning to skate, they kind of catch on even faster and kind of improve better. So it doesn't matter which level we want to work for it. And I think that's unfortunately, hockey's not a middle-class sport anymore. Fortunately, it's really, yeah. really expensive to play, which is we kind of want to try to change that era a little bit and give kids to play. You know,
there's got to be a couple options for them.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
They need to understand the game
and then
how, you know, it provides like a place for your camaraderie and a place to get away from like either your parents' situation at home or fucking school sucks. I want to go hang out with my hockey buddies.
Yeah, in a locker room.
Jump on a bus and travel a couple hours and play some hockey. But you're right, it is expensive. Yes. Just to further up on this, the programs, at what age and like now through some of the, you know, the kids you work with, are you seeing like the next Jack Hughes? Like at what age and now are you seeing this kid go, okay, he's the one. Now we got to fucking get him to like the next level.
I see 13, 14. Yeah. My nephew, Brody Berard, who's a big defenseman. But
love this kid.
Yeah, he can hit. He's a good player. He's got the hockey IQ. We're working on his foot. He got big quick, so we're working on his foot speed and stuff. But he's very gifted. Definitely sees the ice very well. But he's playing with a kid called Rocco Pelosi. Pelosi's brother was drafted, I think, last year, third round by the Bruins. But this kid's the U14. He is unbelievable. You watch this kid play.
Forward,
yeah. Just he makes everybody around him better.
Wow.
And he just gets on it. Yeah, he really does. I jumped on him before I actually flew out here. We jumped on the U14 to work on a power play, some 5-on-3, 5-on-4 stuff. And basically, he just gets it. And you know what? When I was talking to him, he's looking me in the eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he gets it. He was listening. But I would say 13, 14 is the right age now where you can see kids start to take off at that elite.
Does he have an edge
level.
To him? Does he have an edge?
Oh, yeah.
Edge?
He's nasty. He's from Philly. Philly boy. Oh, his dad was, I believe his dad was an ex-Philly cop.
Sweet.
Really good kid, good family. And he can play. He's nasty.
We see the skill level now. It's through the roof. And I've gone to a couple junior games, and they're just as skilled. But, like, we talked about when we grew up, right? I didn't even work out till I went to junior hockey. Like, I played baseball in the summer. I played hockey. Like, yeah, these guys are all skilled, but, like, is it too much to, like, are they learning, like, how to play the game as well, or are they still focused on the skill side of it that learning the game is kind of secondary? You know, like, hockey sense. Do these kids have it, or are they learning it, or are they just so focused on skills and working out that that's kind of secondary nowadays?
My opinion, can you teach hockey sense? Hockey IQ and hockey sense, I think it's kind of a gift. Obviously, the skill and all that level, skating you can work on, but a sense in IQ, I think, is you either have it or you don't.
Yeah,
and that's the question.
You either pay attention at the whiteboard or you're just like fucking looking.
Yeah.
At this.
And then when you go on the ice, you just, you know, to me, you either have it or you don't. I mean, if you pay attention to things like that, but as far as the hockey sense, I think that's a gift.
Like, I think the game is as skilled as it's ever been, but I would even go back to, like, especially our era and your era being then, like, puck possession, and you look at the Red Wings back in the day, like, today these kids come in and, yeah, they can fly and they can fucking stick kill. They can, but, like, there's, I don't know, we're losing that kind of, like, puck possession to a certain extent. I see these young kids come in, they can all just fly. It's like, I don't know. It worries me a bit that it's just chipping and chasing, and then when they get the puck in their hand, they're as nasty as they can be. But are we losing the little, I don't know, artistic side of the game a bit, or am I just an old dinosaur over here? I might be an old dinosaur.
Yeah, I mean, the younger kids today, I mean, what I'm watching the academies, I don't watch a lot. You know, I watch the NHL. I don't watch a lot of college hockey. I feel like sometimes college hockey isn't that chipping, you know, throw the puck deep, kind of. They kind of take away from some of these skills and agility these guys have. I think that's why a lot of times these guys will get drafted and NHL teams will pull them out of college pretty quick because they want to develop them now. The American Hockey League, we all know, is a development league now compared to what used to be when we were there. You know, our age bracket was kind of a goon league, to be honest with you. But now it's a development league.
It was just the big boys down there chucking them.
Exactly.
So, and then leading that, it's funny how times have changed. Like, you played professional junior hockey.
Yep.
Where'd you play?
Detroit Junior Red Wings.
Yeah, playing the Ontario League.
Ontario League.
So I left high school after my junior year.
Yeah.
And went up and played as a 17, 18.
So would that have changed had, you know, this USHL been around then? Because now, like, you know, Elliot Friedman came out by whatever a couple of weeks ago, and at the Board of Governors meeting is all the talk on the NCAA, you know, and the rules and the handcuffing to the CHL kids, right?
Yep.
And now they're thinking of X-ing it. That since 1995 has been a rule. Like at 16, these kids in Canada or in the U.S. have to make a decision on their future, which could be forever, of not going to an NCAA school if they choose to go play one game in the Dub or one game in the O. And now you have competition where maybe not all the best kids are going to the CHL anymore. You know, they're going through, I'm looking at some guys, Matty Tkachuk, Montour, Cole Caulfield, Luke Hughes, Jack Hughes, all these kids go through the Development League in the USHL. It's an incredible program. Your thoughts on how that whole dynamic's changing?
I would think it's going to change now because now you can get paid playing college too, right? So that doesn't affect your
status. That was something to do with it too.
I think it's just style of play. I mean, a great example is Tyler Boucher, Brian Boucher's son, right? Went to BU for a little bit, but that kid played an NHL game. He should have went to junior right away. But the CHL has an awful rule now. So before, when I was growing up, we could declare a league. I could go play in a Dub. I could go play in the O. I could play in the Quebec. Now it's by region. So if you grow up on the East Coast, you got to play in the Quebec League. No offense, but once really playing in Quebec.
Right? So, don't worry. Our listeners don't care.
The O, Boosh, declared the Dub. You know, you get to declare a league. Now it's by region. So hopefully, you know, where Tyler Boucher, hopefully my nephew, he wants to play college hockey.
Yeah.
But he should hopefully make the national program, but he'd be living in Michigan, so he couldn't play in the O. If he stayed at home and didn't make national program, he'd have to play in the Quebec League. Yeah. So that's basically now that rule's got to change too. They did that because, you know, then the junior teams get to handpick their players from the U.S. But it does seem with this national program, a lot more kids, even Canadian kids, are playing hockey. I mean,
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
In college hockey, they want to play college hockey.
Yeah, I would have loved to.
So when I first heard this, I thought like, okay, if I go play in the CHL and I don't make it, then can I go play NCAA, or is there an age limit? You can't just, like, I guess I'm saying, can I play till I'm 20 in the O and then be like, fuck it, I'm going to go be a freshman at 21 in the NCAA?
Hopefully they could change it, but average age right now, freshman, is almost 21 years old in the NCAA.
Yeah, so it's great. You can earn a living if you're a half.
USHL, everyone goes, you know, the kids, depends on your talent level.
I didn't know that.
If you're a stud, you're going to play at 18 or 19, like Hannafin, you know, these guys that did. But basically, they want you almost to finish school, whether it's prep school, then you go to USHL, you don't even go to school. These kids sit at home and then they play junior hockey for 2 years.
You know it's going
to
affect big time when you think about it? It's going to affect the NHL teams drafting guys at 18 and wanting them to sign before their 3-year deal so they don't go back in the draft, because these kids are going to have an opportunity to play in their junior teams and then go to college and make, you know, say they make the $100,000 a year or $150,000. They don't have to go to the AHL and be stuck under the contract of a Columbus Blue Jackets, or, you know what I mean? It's going to bring more competition to these leagues below the AHL that will prevent, like, if I was a fucking agent, I'd be like, you know what, kid? If you hold out another 2 years and you go into college and go play a couple of years, we're going to get you anywhere. And you can make money doing it.
I've always said that I think that unless you're like a Berard or even you, for like a first rounders, maybe. But like 18's still too young. Like some of these kids get drafted at 18. They're not even nowhere near what they're going to turn into, what they could be. Like, I think if you bumped it up to like where you don't draft these kids till 21, unless they're special, you know, then it could work out.
Maybe just declare to for your draft. I mean, if they do a 20-year draft or, you know, 19 or 20 years old, you're a good player, you can declare it.
Yeah, either you declare at 18 or you got to wait till 21.
Yeah, right? Baseball, these guys fucking get drafted twice, a lot of them. They go fucking 1-5, like first round, fifth overall, and then they go back in 2 years later because they don't want
to. I think the league definitely has to take a look at it for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely. And in CHL for sure, they got to look at it and let some of these kids, you know, play the CHL and then don't, you know, they don't lose their NCAA eligibility.
Yeah, you're right about how it's the what's it called now?
NIL.
Yeah. So back in the day, although they didn't pay us anything in junior hockey,
$73, I think.
Yeah. That was considered to the NCAA of us getting paid. So that took our eligibility off the table. So I think you're right. That's what opened this up. But let's talk about that. Like, I was all for college kids getting paid, and us junior kids, we didn't make any money either. But now, like, you got Dion's kid making four bananas. I think it's gone too far. Like, if you're him, why would you want to leave college if you're making $4 million driving around a Rolls Royce? Like, I think it's gone too far the other way now. Like
Van Wilder,
Just, right? Yeah. Like, you think these guys are making, like, that's too much money for college.
I agree. I think that's why Saban.
And I love Coach Prime.
I think if you go back and look, I haven't watched the whole interview, but I think Saban does something on, I don't know if they, it was Congress or wherever they was talking about it, somewhere he was, but he was talking about that's basically why I retired. Him and his wife, you know, is basically they were done with it and they thought this was going to ruin college football.
Yeah, he may be. I mean, I'm happy for these kids, but it's just a lot. The last thing for me on the alumni game, first of all, Sheldon, he's going to have it every year. I can't wait. Stapled. But you went out there. Fuck, we couldn't see. No bucket, and you had your glasses on, and you're down there blocking shots. I'm on the other team, and I was feared for your life, buddy. You were just out there just blocking shots, no bucket on.
Yeah, that I don't worry about the head. I was lucky enough genetically. I never knocked on what I did. They did deal with too many concussions, there, but for me, it's more my vision. I can't see as it is, so if I wore a visor out there, the fog would have been done.
Oh, I was
so at least the goggles, were, I mean the goggles, I should say, the Hanson Brothers glasses were fogging a little bit, but I did the same thing in Winter Classic. I just put a toque on, and the glasses, I have to. If I put that Taft shield on.
You're probably no bucky, right?
Yeah,
no bucky. You played
yeah.
no bucky.
I know. Yeah, well, he's my D-man.
Yeah. I just remember Jimmy Down from the Shuppy.
Bucky was good out
game.
There.
Jimmy no bucket.
Good out there, too, that game.
Poor Berard got hit first shift. This guy was a guy. It was a firefighter, too. He was a good kid. He was just picked late. And you were like one of his favorite players. He's like an Islanders fan. And fucking first shift, Loop lifted your stick, or maybe this fucker. What about Loop? Yeah, Loop lifted your stick.
That's Loop's the worst alumni player now ever. He goes just high sticking everyone.
And poor Berard takes this birdcage right in the yapper, and you come back to the bench, and I'm like, oh god, no.
Yeah, probably could have used a zipper too. I was really pissed off.
Like, these alumni games are great, and I love what Sheldon's doing. But like, as ex players, is there anything that's just worse than getting fucking clipped in an alumni game? Like, I've yet to get one, but if I do, it's not gonna be pretty.
I was getting pretty pissed though at PA and a couple of those guys flying around there, and we're getting beat. It was like 7-1, 8-1. If we didn't have Hank in the net, we would have lost 20-0. So I was getting kind of a little pissed off a little bit. Yeah.
Well, hey,
that's the definition of bloodbath. Hey, that's
I warned.
You can play.
Play. I warned Sheldon and Uppy and Loops going in because I know the alumni boys in Colorado. I know they play monthly and they skate weekly. Like, boys, and hey, Duke, fuck it. The hotel we went to, the St. Regis, he had a piece of salmon and broccoli after the game. I'm like, Hedge, you play tomorrow or what? Have a slice of pie, but you just had 17 points. I'm like, so point being is, and I've told Sheldon this, and this is all of our jobs, we got to get some more NHLers in there for the other team. Just that Avs team, they play every week. They have control breakouts and shit.
Absolutely.
And they are swinging here, swinging there. Hayduke looked like he could still play.
He might be able to. He was nasty out there.
Hey, B, I want to ask you about the USA Hockey program. I know we touched on the development program, but I'm talking the big boys here. We've been lucky enough. The Tkachuk brothers have been great to us. I love both those guys. Brady's my favorite captain. Clayton Keller is an absolutely great kid. I mean, you look at this team on paper. We're going to have a Four Nations Cup next year, and then we're going to have the Olympics the year after. But, like, just how far USA Hockey's come. And you're one of the guys that put it on the map. But this program now, these kids, look out. They're legit.
Yeah, they really are. And, you know, credit to the national program. You know, lucky enough, I grew up, on the East Coast, and I was very aware of the Tkachuk boys early on. Even when they're young kids, they grew up on the Cape, and guys were Marty McKinnon, Scott LaChance, and then they were feared back then, just a street hockey. I know some of the wives didn't want their boys playing with them because they were just tough kids. And Walt's one of the best. I was lucky enough to play with some of those guys at the first Olympics in '98. Billy G and Wader and Tony Amonte and Leach, obviously Chelios, Madonna, all those guys. Brett Hull. So I'm a young kid, 19 years old. It was great, and Walt was always one of the best. And you know, he's just a legend. I mean, the kid can play. He's tough. I mean, and look at his voice. I mean, look what Matt's done in Florida. He's turned that whole organization around. It's fun to watch. And I would say those are probably my best players to watch. I would say top players to watch right now when they're on TV. I dial into
Canada's in one, right?
Buddy, speaking of fun to watch, remember the '96 World Cup?
Unreal.
That was fucking unreal.
Yeah, that was my first NHL
game. Is that Claude Lemieux and fuck? Yeah.
Dude, was that awesome.
That was Walt beating fucking,
completely. Yeah. They're just fights. And
it was the first time his name World Cup, too, because it was after the Canada Cup.
Yeah, exactly.
They called it World Cup. And those guys were footer, and all those guys were just, throwing them, chucking them.
Yeah,
good hockey. Hope they're bringing that back, right?
Yeah, they are. It's just, and I don't know, we've got to know these USA kids, and like, I don't know what's going on with, the CHL and stuff like that, but these kids seem to be coming out of that development program with already a bond. And I know Clint Keller and the Tkachuks are from St. Louis, and maybe they knew each other before, but overall, we went to Maddie's house for the All-Star game, and he had the whole fucking Team USA over there. They're sitting around drinking, and I'm thinking,
Fuck, these guys are rich.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm thinking that. But I'm like, I'm hoping Team USA is doing this.
Yeah.
I hope their boys are doing it. They had some team building going, that we're all big team builders. I was like, this is
it starts in that program, because at 16, you know, the U16 and then the U18 is where it starts. And then, you know, they're living together. They're going to school together. They do billet, obviously, out in there, Plymouth, Michigan. But I think that's how a team gets built. And, yeah. You know, it's experience-wise. And they're playing all those USHL teams. So they play a great schedule, and they're developing them.
Yeah.
USA Hockey's doing a great job.
The thing about the Tkachuk boys is you could just tell they grew up around the game, huh? Like the way they, and this is from what I've heard people play with them, the way they treat the trainers, the way they treat the boys on the road. And then, like, you could just tell they, even when you talk to them, that they grew up around NHL locker room kids.
Fucking
like,
right.
That's a degree. That's like going to Harvard. You grew up around NHL locker rooms with Walt Tkachuk and you're his boys. That is a fucking degree.
They're built to be doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
That's what they're built for.
They are. The best was we're in Florida. And we're up in the Panthers lounge or the Panthers club. Big Walt comes in, so I just give him my old fashioned. He wants an old fashioned. I'm like, just take mine. He's like, no. I'm like, take my old fashioned. I'll wait for the next one. And then he's like, look at Brady out there. Doesn't even know he's playing in an All-Star game. Just thinks he's out there with his buddies. And then another great line is Brady snuck out that night at Maddie's house, and Big Walt comes over. He's smoking his cigars, and Chelly walks in. I'm just soaking up what Walt's saying. And he goes, hey, Matty, where'd Brady go? He's like, Dad, I got to tell you, I think he went home about an hour and a half ago. He's like, I'm not even mad. I'm just disappointed.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see the best on best, man. And Berard, we've been talking over the course of the weekend. Nobody rushed the puck like you did, fella, but this guy may be a little better than you. Kale McCarr, what do you like?
Insane.
It's insane, right? When, as an ex-defenseman, the way he can walk the line and move his feet, and when you watch him play, is that obviously what jumps out?
Absolutely, and it's no offense to UMass Amherst. I just can't believe he played at UMass Amherst. Yeah. To be honest with you, I mean, but he keeps getting better and better, and I think Gretz said it best. I mean, he's the modern-day Bobby Orr.
I know.
I mean, his feet, but with more Mohawks and the way he can move his feet and all this stuff, I don't see him able to walk the blue line. He doesn't seem like he gets tired out there. He reminds me of Lidstrom a little bit. He can play almost 30 minutes. He doesn't even look like he's sweating. He gets a little bit of red cheeks a tad.
The odd time. Yeah, he does get a little bit of red cheeks. He's got the baby face.
I mean, I love watching him play. He's insane.
What do they call it? You said a Mohawks?
Yeah, it's kind of.
Is that the 10 and 2?
Yeah.
Is that what they call it?
Exactly.
Mohawk turn.
These guys must be throttling in the bedroom now with the way their hips move.
I think they're saving the hips.
Yeah.
That's why we put them in shape.
They're not leaving the hips.
They're getting their hips replaced, too, before they're 52. They will. They're working. Because you can't. There's nothing you can do. You get grinding it. And those guys are, I mean, he plays. What is he averaging a night? Do you guys
27 probably,
something like that. Yeah.
Our hips.
And he's got the puck for all 27 minutes that he's out there.
Controls the puck.
The thing that I love about him is the way he can defend, like his stick on puck, his strength, the way he gets under sticks and like boom, boom, takes it, gone. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah, it's just skating.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it is. I mean, obviously, he's just a special player.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't think there's any, I don't think there's a better defenseman ever right now. No. To be honest.
But you bring up Lindstrom, and I remember who was my team. Was it fucking? I don't know if it was Disco Dan. No, he had him in the minors. It must have been like Mike Sullivan or something. He's pulling clips of Lindstrom to show me. I'm like, well, first of all, Sully, I think we got a couple, two different players here. But Lindstrom would never cross over. You remember that when he defended? Like, he would never cross over. He just would be right there, and he'd walk the line. Like, he made it look very, very.
Yeah, that's a big thing with the young kids now is crossing over feet. You know, that's the thing. Especially as a D-man, you get tangled. I know as me as an offensive defenseman coming up on the ice with speed, I would look for that D-man to cross his feet.
Yeah.
If he crossed his feet, I'd explode one way or the other. Exactly. And that's what we're trying to teach these young D now is you can't cross your feet. And that's, again, the skating. But it starts at a young age. I mean, this is embarrassing to say, but I could not. This is, it's a different as skating, I guess, coaches and stuff at a young age. But I turned pro at, 19? I could not pivot to the right side. That's insane. I didn't even know I could.
Yeah.
Until
a pivot?
Yeah, exactly. Pivot. I'm skating forward, right? And then I literally had to work, and Milbury was the one to point it out to me. He's like, you can't fucking turn right.
Yeah.
It was insane. So then I had to work on that already in the NHL. So that's what these kids now, we're kind of working with them, and they're just all these kids can skate. There's no really third or fourth liners now
Brett Hall shot the puck.
Yeah,
there's no.
It's the sticks.
There's no fourth liners that
sticks.
The
sticks are nasty.
Oh, that's what the push and pull. I mean, we're teaching that too, which I can't even. I still don't know how to shoot that way. But this kid Steph Demopoulos does with a lot of shooting instruction back home, and these young kids, 8-9-year-old kids, can fire the puck. They're going. All they like to say is bar down.
Yeah.
I hate when they say that, but that's all they do. Like shoot, especially the young D-man. I go, I snap now because go watch a young game, U14, U15.
They're
every high. Guy's missing the puck high. It drives me fucking bananas.
You would have got murdered back in the day by the forwards, eh?
Yeah, absolutely. Shoot the puck low, boys, about, you know, like 12 to 18 inches off the ice.
Yeah.
Because I always explain it. You either get tipped. Shoot a mill and that's tipped up, yeah, or tipped down. If you're, yeah, shooting high, it's only getting tipped down or high stick.
Exactly.
There was no better feeling back in the day, though, when you first be able to raise the puck or like hit the net from the blue line, like with the slapper, you know? And now these kids, you're right, they're probably like fucking 6 years old just ripping.
I don't think anybody uses a flex over 75, 80. No, oh, either. It's insane.
Hey, a kid that we love here is, you're going to see him more in Buffalo now, but Bull Byram.
Yeah.
Yeah, this kid. I mean,
a little Berard game.
Yeah, he does.
I haven't, and it's sad to say, but I haven't seen him play enough yet.
Yeah, well, hey, you'll see him more now.
How old is he now?
22, 21?
Yeah.
No, he's young. He's 23.
But you'll love his game. You'll see him now more in Buff. He didn't get to flourish as much in Colorado playing behind McCarr and stuff, but he has a little Berard to him. I remember watching him play World Juniors, and the way he could skate, he reminded me of Duncan Keith. I'm like, who the fuck is this Byram kid? And great kid. His old man is an absolute beauty. So keep an eye on him. But I want to ask you another guy you've been talking about here is Kucherov. I mean, you're loving everything that this guy's doing, huh?
He's my favorite.
Yeah.
I mean, right now he's my favorite player in the league. He is. It's all brains. I mean, it really is. He just can. He's fun to watch. I mean, the plays he makes out there. Just he sees. I said this the other night too on UNPA. I said he sees plays before the other players are even seeing them, and he knows what I'm going to do before I know what I do. What I'm going to do. It's fun to watch. I mean, he's awesome. He really is. And the same thing. It looks like he loves the game, and he's out there playing and having fun doing it.
I like his game because there's a lot of glide in his game, too. Like, he's not playing at 109 miles. Like, when he has to go get a puck, he can step on it. But when he gets it, he almost slows it down a little bit and then, like, takes it to his pace where, you know, the big boys now, McDavid, McKinnon, they ramp it up to their pace that people can't keep up. But he seems to have that old school slow it down and like you said, seeing way two plays ahead.
Yeah, big time. It's like the old Russian, you know, the guys like Fetisov and those guys. He just seems like he has that you know.
The Russian five.
The Russian five, exactly. He seems to have that in him a little bit, you know.
I'm trying to pull up the stats here. He's got like 60 more points than this guy? Or
no, what? He's got 8 more points, I think, than McKinnon.
No, I'm talking about his team.
Oh, then his team? Yeah. It's probably 50 points.
Which is pretty crazy. He's fun to watch. And, you know, that's what I like. I don't know if I have any teams or favorite teams. I just like watching players now, you know.
Yeah, he's got 123 points, and Braden Point's got 80.
What is Stamper?
43.
Stamper doesn't have a contract is what he's got. He's got 29 He's got 29 goals for 65. It's fucking Stamper's minus 23. She's cold on Tampa this year.
Still 30. Almost got 30 again.
Yeah. It'd still be interesting to see what happens with him, too. I don't know. He's the UFA, you think?
Yeah.
I don't know.
How old's he? He's not that old, right? I mean, he's getting up there, but just the more.
He's probably 33.
Yeah, you would think he'd be older the way the tough injuries he's been through. And
yeah, he's 34 years old, born in 90. Yep, fought over 1,000 games. But Berard, I saw here in your hockey DB. Last thing for me, fella, is you played in Columbus. I did you hate it as much as this guy hates it, or what?
Well, I always liked it.
That's towards the end. So I liked it because at the beginning, it was before he got hurt, but, you know, I obviously with Nash and Vaborny and you know, a few players, and you know, I got hurt. I signed a 2-year deal there, and I got hurt 40 games in, but I think I had like 14 goals.
I
had some good numbers, and I hurt my back, and they kind of doctored. I had back surgery, and they should have done 2 levels, and long story short, then I had Hitch with about 10 games left, and Hitchcock is the biggest phony out there, and I'll say it live. I can't stand him. I've never played a sport in his life. He shits on guys, and I never respected the man after that, and I don't like him.
Yeah,
that way.
The J.R. Bagel story with Hitch, right? Rubbing those balls in Hitch.
I can imagine for a guy. Yeah, I got to know him 3 years or 2.5 years, but it's for a quick fix or someone that comes in and just tries to make a statement early. I could see
that's what he did. Off of back surgery.
Who knows if we had a different coach. Maybe we could have won. Our team was fucking arguably one of the best teams in the league for those couple of years, and we were, you know, we were held back a bit, whether that was, I don't know, some personnel or fucking, you know, not finding the right
off-ice issues.
Right goals, off-ice issues. You know, but I don't know. Hitch is a different bird.
Yeah.
Different bird.
Just think how long he's lasted and literally probably never.
He's in the Hall of Fame.
Exactly.
He's in the Hall of Fame.
Exactly.
Hey, Bird, you had 32 and 44 in Columbus before you got hurt. But let's go to the other spectrum here. Fuck, what was it like playing for the Rangers?
That I mean, that team we had was, I mean, it was Lindros, Bure, Mess, Leach, Malakoff, Theo Fleury,
Dale Purington, that guy. He came down to Hartford. You guys sent him down to Hartford that year.
Yeah, Ricky was there. Steve McKenna.
Was that in 2002?
That was 2002.
Yeah,
that was when I scored my first goal. You were in the lineup.
That was your first. Was that your first? That was your first game back after you're getting hurt, after hurting your arm,
correct,
right?
Yeah, I signed with the Rangers. That was so right after 9/11 as well, too. We missed the playoffs that year, which is crazy because we had Lindros, Big E.
Your cap was $200 million.
Yeah, exactly.
You had a great year, man. You played all, like, look at this. Ops coming off eye surgery. You played all 82, which is fucking amazing in its own right. And then you had 22 goals, 23 points. And you're even, Steven. I mean, that's coming off what you went through, dude. I never knew that.
That's 60 points in the modern NHL.
Oh,
I'll say this, and the Rangers were unreal, and Slats was unreal to me. There was a lot of games I probably shouldn't have been in the lineup, and he gave me an opportunity. You know, I was probably 6-7 defenseman, and he just let me kind of get out all the cobwebs and stuff. I really want to thank him because he did a really good job. He just did me a favor and kept me in it. You know, because then the next year, you know, I signed with Boston and stuff, and I can feel that I'm starting to, you know, kind of learn the game again, how to play with one eye.
Totally. So, what was it like? Like, because, I mean, listen, another thing about the game I hate now is these D go back for pucks and they don't have to worry about getting hit. I might have been a fucking wheel and deal defensive if I didn't have to worry about guys killing me. But even in your era before me, the guys on the forecheck were even crazier. What was it like? Do you remember the first time you went back for a puck when you only had one eye? Were you like, well, I can't even imagine that, dude.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny. So vision was one of my I would say one of my assets. So the one eye, going back for the puck was all right. If one guy was chasing me, for me it was when I had two guys chasing me. I could always kind of feel the one guy, and then the second guy would jump me. That's when I had trouble. A lot of the older guys, though, honestly, and I said this before, it was respect. A lot of guys would kind of give me the, hey, come in. Even before, they gave me a little bit of hit. You know, they wouldn't just destroy me. But before that, I mean, you know, guys like Lindros and stuff chasing. I said it the other night with the seamless glass. I mean, we used to get our heads wrung off the big glass all the time. Split right, you know, right in the temple area. We've seen a lot of cuts. But, yeah, it's definitely a different game now for sure.
That seamless glass was the worst. There was first got in the league,
Calgary's was fast.
Fuck, I used to be like, I got a good hit into this fucking thing.
That's where all the concussions kind of started, well, I believe. Yeah. You know,
hell yeah,
for sure.
Is there anything else we want to touch on here, boys, before we let the beast go? Or I mean, what's going on in Newport, Rhode Island? Never been there. I Maddie's been all over me for that too. That's a fun summer town.
It is. You guys can come down too, because we'll see if I'll get us on Newport Country Club too. Great old track. One of the I think it's one of the oldest clubhouses in the U.S. I believe. And the track, I mean, it's special too. So you guys get down here. It's a great summer. I mean, it's a good great restaurants. Nightlife's not the best. I mean, closed at 1. There's only bars and stuff. But as far as food and stuff, Newport, Rhode Island's right up there.
1 o'clock. Well, we'll go back to fucking Maddie's house.
We'll figure it out. I'm sure.
Hey, I wanted to ask you this one last thing for me. Cobble. You were one of the first guys that brought me to Cobble too, Diamante. Now, Cobble, I love this place more than anything. You still get down there as much as you used to?
I need to. I have not been down since COVID. I love going down. We got to get our matches going. I got to get swinging the club again. Yeah. We got to get our matches. Me and Uppy taking on you guys, but you and Loops. But
God, I don't want Loops. I don't fucking want Loops. Loops, I'll take you after the round, but God.
Yeah, Diamante, they just broke ground on their third track too. So they're building, Tiger designed another track that's supposed to be really, really nice. So hopefully within a couple of years, I got to get back down there.
Yeah, we got to. We need a trip.
I was OG style, man. I first learned how to be a real pro with you in Mexico. Seriously, I swear to God,
where you learned how to be a real pro.
That was back when, I mean, that Diamante had just fucking 6 homes on it, no clubhouse, and
dance parties on the green,
and 18 holes night. Dance parties. The fucking little guys bringing us coolers of beer while we're just rolling our tits off with fucking blazers, and it was sick.
Oh, it was fun. Yeah, absolutely.
No rules back then, eh? No, it was great. No.
Good stuff.
Be here, the man, buddy. We love you. Thanks for joining us. That was Missing Curfew, fellas.
Thank you.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day.
Save $50 on each four-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour four-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m., and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.